This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, viewers at home. Welcome back. I'm sure you had a very refreshing break. Now we're going to be tapping into marriage counseling. What is it about? Do we need it? How do you know when you need it? Well, we have our special guest, Idris Khamisa, who will be helping us answer, or rather best answer, our questions regarding marriage and marriage counseling. Assalamu alaikum, Idris. Welcome to Prime Life.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, you know, for marriage counseling to happen, you know, there's this notion that you need to be married first. Is that true?
No, in fact, I would argue, and we have written a book on premarital counseling. I think people normally have a romantic notion of marriage. Mm. They do not understand the prosaic reality that you're going to go through tensions, and it's about disagreeing without being disagreeable. It's about understanding the dynamics of relationships to know people come from diverse backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And it's so critical in the initial years to understand each other, what makes her laugh, what makes her cry, what motivates her or him, and the ability to talk and to listen with empathy. So I would argue that we need to have premarital counseling. I feel it should be mandatory. In fact, I've told scholars that they must not perform a nikah until the couples have gone through that process. But you find today, young people say, "Daddy, no, I want to marry her. I'm in love, Daddy. I'm in love. It's my bebe." You know what I mean? They say all those things. And parents, you know, through coercion or whatever, they give in to that. And the same couple within 3 months say, "Daddy, I should have listened to you," you know? And it is something that we need to look at. So I would argue that premarital counseling is a must. And in fact, one of the things that I do is the fact when couples want to get married, I give them 100 questions you need to ask each other. Now, you may say 100 questions. Perhaps you look at those 100 questions and say, you know what? For me, I think there's 90 questions I can compromise. But these 10, it is fundamental. My wife and I, or my future husband and I, need to be like-minded. Otherwise, you're going to have issues, you know.
Now, as a marriage counselor, probably you've dealt with, probably at this point I can mention three phases. A phase where somebody's able to come for premarital counseling. A phase where somebody found themselves married decades down the line and they're on the brink of a divorce and it's like now they're going into marriage counseling. And then you get others who feel like, okay, it's not always that you have to wait for, treat something. Rather treat, like, something, sometimes find a a cure without the need of being diagnosed with something. You get those with those mentalities. Mm-hmm. In your experience, how have you dealt with those three phases? One is someone who comes for premarital marriage counseling, the one who's on the brink of a divorce, and the others who feel like, you know what, just because it's good doesn't mean it doesn't need fixing. Mm.
In fact, when people come to me for premarital counseling, the question I ask them is, before I talk to you, what is your biggest concern about your future partner? What is it? And that is very revealing. Sometimes suddenly they say, you know what? I'm concerned about the temperament of this person. They have anger issues. I say, listen, that needs to be sorted out before you marry, because anger is a very dangerous weapon. You know, words could hurt. There could be snarling words or purring words, right? They could damage you forever. Right? Other person might say, you know what, I'm only anxious about marriage. I think he and I, we have this chemistry. I said, anxiety is okay, it's not an issue. And what I would do, then I would meet the mom and dad of the respective couples. I'll share with them what my observation is. In fact, Narzana Jasatna wrote a book. It's called Premarital Conversations and Beyond. People have found it quite didactic and instructive, right? So that's the first, right? The second is, when people have issues, one recommendation I always make, you do not go to a counselor when you begin to despise each other, when you have become so toxic, and that is problematic. It's very difficult, not impossible, to turn it around, to transform that. In fact, I argue that when couples come to you, we should not put a lesser plus. We need to look at the underlying reasons why this has happened. You know, the four bad signs in a marriage is when there is contempt, disdain, stonewalling, you know, and defensiveness. That's a very, very bad time, right? So I would recommend, one of the things that I would recommend from the earliest time of your marriage, I say to you and the person, I said, you know what? Have a romantic dinner at least once a week and talk about what went well. Celebrate that. And also share what is some of your concerns. And that way, what happens, it can be cathartic, but it's healing. But you are rectifying things as you're going along. But if you leave it and you ignore it, if you sweep it under the carpet, the same issues could be a recurring nightmare and be cause for separation, right? Mm. The other issue is, you know, in terms of those couples who feel sometimes, you know what, I don't think it helped going to someone else. Mm. It does help. You know why? Because sometimes if you're a dominating person in the marriage, your spouse may feel intimidated, may not express everything. And with a counselor, with an objective voice, sometimes that person is comfortable. And that objective voice can give these people perspective. And you know what? I've learned one thing, you know, that when you're counseling, you've got to counsel both people. It takes two people to make a happy home. It takes two people to make a sad home. And I really believe that the many divorces that have taken place, they ought to have gone for intervention. And you know what? As I said, I'm not here to put a lesser plus. I'm here for them to celebrate and make the life ahead the best years of their life, you know.
Speaking on divorce, I mean, if we were to speak stats, I think divorces are like rapidly occurring. Mm. Whereas you go to a nikah, you'll hear aunties here on the side saying, well, let's see how long it lasts. That's the conversation that's normalized within communities. Now, when we speak of challenges in a marriage, is it there? Because now we're seeing these divorces. Is marriage a challenge, or it's the people in this union that poses a challenge, ultimately resulting in divorces?
No, in fact, you find that without, you know, being, you know, facetious or making an indictment on young people, I really believe many young people, because some of them grew up at the time of instant gratification, getting whatever they want, whenever they want. So they do not know how to negotiate, how to persevere, to understand what is delayed gratification, to have a reciprocal understanding of the other. It's often about yourself. You are self-absorbed, is me, myself, I, right? Mm. That's one issue. The second issue is about communication. You find, you know, and I would recommend this, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very romantic husband. In fact, I want to write a book, a very romantic husband. He was expressive and he was, you know, he showed affection. In fact, when couples come to me and they say to me, Idris, you know, we're going to get married next week. Give us advice. So I'll tell the man, I want you to be as romantic as possible. Mm. Make your wife the cynosure, the epicenter of your life. Be romantic, be caring, make her happy, right? be excited. You know, we have become ready, whether it's a cultural impediment or not. We come home, we are so preoccupied that we forget the person waiting for you, right? Mm-hmm. The second important thing that I always recommend is to understand the other. To understand the other, that we are perhaps different individuals. Now, there are many, many reasons for divorces, mm-hmm. right? The critical thing for me is the lack of affection. The other aspect is the four major reasons that have been cited globally is the overzealousness of the in-laws, you know, interfering in-laws. Yeah. You know, what did you cook today? My husband or my son likes the food this way. What? Oh, right, one. The other one is the issue of money. It's also a very big issue. The third issue is infidelity. And the fourth issue is, of course, you know, issues of drugs or whatever. Now, when it comes to infidelity, now I want to share with you a statistic that is quite revealing. 75% of people who separated because of infidelity regretted it. Mm. They said, you know what? That was an aberration. He was generally a good person. Mm. He made a mistake. So forgiveness is important. The other important aspect is living consciously and with intentionality. Your home must not be a graveyard. It's a place that there's love, there's affection. So to the man, I would say, be romantic and loving. To the woman, what I would say to her, I said, give your man respect and respect his family. He'll die for you. You know, that's that one particular difference. The other important aspect, reasons for a divorce, of course, is, you know, besides infidelity, issues of drugs, issues of pornographic addiction, the other important aspect is when a partner doesn't fulfill their responsibility. And sometimes you find, without passing judgment, lots of men are emasculated, you know. They're no more that the man, you know what I mean, a person of courage, a person that is confident, a protector of the woman. You understand?
Yeah.
So there are different dynamics. Each one is unique in its own way, you know.
Now, a lot of people speak on, you know, youth. It's a sense of, there's that notion that we have options in terms of our social media access where we interact with opposite sex. And then you have, the, as you highlighted, family. And then there's also financial obstacles. How does one then overcome them? Do you have to identify them for what it is to best overcome them? Or there is a way of overcoming them?
I think, you see, an important thing is this. I say that the adults live in one world and the youth in another world. The youth live in a virtual world. They're more concerned about the likes from people they don't even know. It's about image. And image, you know, whilst it is important, but the critical thing is not your image. It's about who you are as an individual. So I think what is important is this. They say an apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, right? So it's very, very important for the mum and dad to be those role models. And to show, yes, mummy and I can disagree, but we never rude to each other. We are respectful to each other. You understand? And she's, I accept her point of view, right? The other important aspect is this, that we do not have enough conversations with our children. We do not understand the experiential world for our children. And therefore, you find today, it's very, very sad. And I say it, you know, and without being a prophet of doom, that I say that the ummah is bleeding. Our homes have become dysfunctional. Our youth, many of them are rudderless. Our fathers are no more the people of moral authority, as it were. And you're right that there are so many divorces. In fact, unbeknown to people, when I go for a nikah, and I often chosen as a guest speaker, they got good taste, they choose me, besides my looks and everything else, you know what I mean? They say kamisa. Right? So when I go there, I would shed a tear. I'd say, Ya Allah, help this marriage, you know? And you know what? In the end, you know, it reminds me of a story. You can see how garrulous I am. I just want to talk, right? For me, I don't need time. I require a calendar. Right. You know, in fact, this couple went to this fortune teller, and they asked the fortune teller, listen, Caroline and I are going to get married, right? She says, well, that's good. Tell us how you see our future. He says, well, for the first 30 years of your marriage, you're going to be unhappy. Then he says, what happens after that? He said, you get used to it. And that's the point. We have gotten used to toxic relationships. We need to assert ourselves. You know, we need to assert ourselves. And gone are the days. You cannot tell a woman or a man who is going through an oppressive relationship to tell him, you know, forgive and be patient, make sabr. You've got to give them solutions. You've got to help them. Sometimes our parents, you know, sadly, we aid and abet our children to do the wrong things, you know. And it's important, you know, to listen to both perspectives, you know.
Now, Mr. Kamisa, you have a conference that will be going on the 4th of December. Can you just tell us a bit about that, just that our viewers are more engaged and probably attend this conference in question?
Right. Look, let me give you a little background about the conference. I've been involved with a number of these conferences in different parts of the world, right? Malaysia, Africa, in the UK, and twice in South Africa. And I was drawn to it when the organizer is a friend of mine, Sajid, from the UK, invited me for one of the conferences, and I had the good fortune of sharing the platform with Sheikh Umar Suleiman and others. It was really a wow factor. When I saw how beautifully and professionally it was done, and I saw how dynamic it was done, that each speaker was given a brief, right, and you are so inspirational, how it brought the families together. There are different kinds of programs. You also have soul seekers when people are looking for partners in their relationship, right? All of these things have taken place. And then the question to be asked is, who should attend? I say to everyone, even though you are happy, learn the other skills so you could teach. Even if you are happy, see how you could up your game and continue to improve. And if you're a young person looking for a spouse, it's an opportunity for you to go there, an opportunity to listen to dynamic speakers from different parts of the world who speak to you not in a patronizing way or the pontificate, in a way that is uplifting and right. And it's taking place December 4th at the convention center in Cape Town. Mm. And we are so excited. I've come here for 3 days to Johannesburg. And I'm so excited. You know why I'm so excited?
I would like to know.
Control me. hold me. I'm so excited because INX Prime, right, which you're watching at the moment, is going to be one of our partners.
Oh,
and I know we're going to share with you all the promotional material. Mm-hmm. And I must commend both of you. I was watching both of you. I like the ambience. I like the synergy there. And y'all are doing great work. So exactly. My brothers and sisters, December the 4th.
Oh, yes.
The fourth, and you have an opportunity of transforming your marriage. Just give you one little example. One of our speakers is going to be Mariam Limo from Nigeria.
Oh,
she is brilliant. And Hela Banani from America. And so Hela Banani was telling me that when she was here in South Africa, she did a presentation. And after her presentation, a lady came to her and said, you know, sister, today was a day I was going to leave my husband. Your talk touched my heart so much. It has rekindled my passion for him and for the institution of marriage. You know what I'm saying? So it is not there just for a function to, you know,
get the
numbers. It's far from it. And if I was not involved in counseling, if I do not know the condition of the community, I would not sacrifice my time, right? No, I'm not getting paid for this, right, to promote these programs. And I have no doubt it will be transformational long as you come there with an open heart, you know.
Mr. Kamisa, you are a lot of things. Motivational speaker, you teach, you empower the youth. As a marriage counselor, on that note, what is your closing commentary?
My closing commentary is this. I think as adults, we must promote the institution of marriage. We owe it to our children. We owe it to our youth. And also, I think schools, madrasas, need to speak about it, need to speak about the joys of marriage. Do not allow the frightening statistics of divorces to impact on you. In fact, today companies have realized, business companies, if my staff are happy at home, they're far more productive at home, you know, in the workplace. And I also say to people, happiness is self-inflicted and not created by others. If you are not a happy person, you cannot make someone else happy. If you do not love yourself, you cannot love other people.
Yeah. Jazakallah so much, Idris Khamis, for joining us. Inshallah, we'll be seeing you on the 4th of December, inshallah.
No, next time I'll sign your autograph.
Oh, please. I'm keen.
No, thank you so much. It was such a joy interacting with your guys here.
Alhamdulillah.
You know. Okay, keep well. And you'll see me more often. And I don't want to be a recurring nightmare, but you'll see me, right? Thanks.
Viewers at home, that was Idris Khamisa speaking on marriage. Now you heard him. Now, happiness is self-inflicted. Don't wait for other people to create a version of what your happiness should be. On that note, we take an ad break. We'll be back just after this.